Merry Christmas to you from my family and the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. Today, we continue our Advent reflections on the birth of Jesus recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through to 14. Friend, there are many persons who still do not understand the significance of the birth of Jesus. For them, Christmas is about shopping, gifts, the bright lights, family, food, party, and pleasure, or perhaps some vacation time from working all year round. But Christmas is all about Jesus, my friend, who he is, and the difference he has come to make in your life and in our dark world. The Bible says in Luke 2, 1 through to 14, that in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. End quote. In these opening verses, we see the sovereignty of God at work. The prophet Micah prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem in Judea. Notice here that it took a decree from the ruling emperor, Caesar Augustus, to ensure that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem and not Nazareth. Friends, God will move the rulers of the world to do his bidding. I know that all well-thinking people of the world are concerned about what's happening in our world today. When we consider the war between Russia and Ukraine, it seems as if there's no end in sight. We are aware of the worsening situation in Somalia. We're also aware of increasing tensions in the Caribbean region related to the United States dealing with Venezuela. But even when we don't understand what is happening, we can rest on the pillar of God's sovereignty. There is a throne in heaven, and God still rules and reigns in the affairs of men. The Bible tells us in Luke 2, 5 through to 7, that he, Joseph, went there in Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. End quote. Mary and Joseph were humble servants of God, chosen for the special task of bringing the Christ child, as it were, into the world, or being parents, earthly parents, to the Messiah. Friends, each of us were born to fulfill a God-given purpose. We were not born to eat, sleep, take up space, and live lives of aimless desperation. Do you know your God-given purpose? What will be your contribution to the world? Are you humbly fulfilling the purpose for which you were created by God? To know your purpose, you have to go back to the one who made you. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 100, quote, "It is he that made us and not we ourselves," end quote. Let the humble and righteous servants, Mary and Joseph, inspire you to find and fulfill your God-given purpose in the world. In reading this text in Luke 2, one cannot escape as well the humble context in which Jesus Christ our Lord was born. Think of it. Jesus, the creator of the universe and King of glory, was not born in a palace, but rather in a cattle stall, because there was no room for them in the inn. When the Bible says in the New Testament book of Philippians that he humbled himself and became obedient to the death on the cross, the humility of which the Bible speaks also is a reference to the circumstances of Jesus' birth, which, by the way, are not accidental. The humble context of Jesus' birth is a powerful reminder to all of us that the circumstances of our birth should not put a limit on what we can achieve in this life. It is also a call for us to practice humility, which, by the way, is proper self-estimation of ourselves in regard to God and our fellow man. So, to be truly humble is not to think too highly of ourselves, or too low of ourselves for that matter, but to have proper self-perception based on who God says we are. With God, we can accomplish great things, but without God, we can do nothing of lasting significance. Practicing such humility is very important because the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible also says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." Friends, God coming to earth in human form is the greatest historical event that ever took place in the world. To ensure we understand the significance of this transformative event, God announced the birth of Jesus with the help of the angelic host, as well as the special assignment that the angel Gabriel had to share with the shepherds this great news. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 8, "And they were there, the shepherds, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to whom his favor rests.'" The word of the Lord. Friends, God's angelic announcement of the good news of the birth of Jesus to humble and lowly shepherds should be a powerful reminder to all of us that the gospel is for everyone. This includes those who are materially poor, those who are poor in spirit. It includes the powerless, the vulnerable, and the marginalized in society. Because we are often so transactional in the way we relate to others, sometimes even churches look down on those who need to hear the gospel, simply because, from their perspective, they might not be able to contribute much to the ministry. Friends, God did not overlook the shepherds, and God has not overlooked you this morning. He's given to you a reminder that the Savior has come for you today. The angels brought a message of good news, and it's good news for everyone. What is this good news? The angel said, "Today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Friends, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness. That is why God has sent us a Savior. Listen to me this morning. Even with the best willpower, we cannot manage the destructive nature of sin and the ugliness that sin brings into our lives. It is sin that still costs us more than we plan to spend. It is sin that takes us farther than we plan to go and keep us longer than we plan to stay. Thank God for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The best thing you can do with your life this Christmas, my friends, is to embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a fallacy to believe that you can get to heaven by living a good life, or by choosing how you want to live through any other religion. There is only one way to get to heaven, and Jesus is the only way. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only Savior for the world, and He's the only one that can free us from slavery to sin, bad habits, addictions, and self-righteousness. Jesus has come to transform your life, and you must accept that you're a sinner if you are to come into a new relationship with Him. It is sin that God finds infinitely offensive, for He's a holy God. To be saved and transformed, you must accept the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as your only hope for God's payment for sin. This is truly what the message of Christmas is about. Jesus, the one who has come to bring true peace on earth and to give light and life to every man, is holding out hope for you this morning. May this Christmas be truly different for you as you embrace Jesus as your Savior, the Savior of the world, and celebrate with joy what He has brought to every man, so that you can experience true freedom from the weight and stench of your sins. Amen.